Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirita with Mary Lou Nemechek. We are shifting gears a little bit, we're going to examine in the next couple of shows a series of thoughts, ideas, dare we say predictions, forecasts, opinions, that all fall under the category of private revelation. If you're Catholic, you can look it up in the Catechism, and Mary Lou has, and she's going to give us the definition of a private revelation. Why don't you read what we have?
Okay, it is number 67 in the Catechism. And it states, throughout the ages, there has been so-called private revelations, some of which have been recognized by the authority of the church. They do not belong, however, to the deposit of faith. It is not their role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully by it in a certain period of history.
So we believe, Mary Lou and I believe, and many other people believe, that the ideas and the opinions and the prophetic words that we're going to present to you in these few shows have something to say to the period of time in which we find ourselves today as a church. I was sharing with you, Mary Lou, previously how I saw that meme on Facebook, and it's somebody going outside to see which chapter of the book of Revelation we're doing today in the year 2020, you know, and I think that's kind of a feeling that a lot of people have felt, right? It's 2020 just opened up with a bang, and we're only in June, and we've had global pandemics, economic recession, lockdowns, quarantine, people dying, and then we had social unrest and riots and looting and pillaging, and then we have like hurricanes coming in from the Gulf of Mexico, you know, and then earlier we had the fires in Australia and in California.
And there are locusts in Africa.
We had locusts in Africa. It's like, okay, what the heck? Of course, those skeptics would point to the fact that, hey, these things have always happened. We just know more about them now because of the 24/7 news cycle, right? I mean, there's always people who are going to say, well, nah, that's not true. It's business as usual, whatever. So, you know, you can take or leave whatever it is that we're going to say, but I don't know about you, but I, Mary Lou, I have kind of like a personal need to unpack these ideas out loud. And you all are kind of beneficiaries of Mary Lou and mine's conversation about these private revelation, these prophetic insights, because we really do believe that they're pointing to some helpful ways to relate to our times today, 2020. What do you think, Mary Lou?
I totally agree with that. And it comes to mind when you talk about people that are so deathly afraid right now and have a lot of fear. And I can understand that. We've all been shaken to our core with everything that's gone on. But, you know, St. John Paul II said, be not afraid, be not afraid. And I think that that's what we're striving for, is to share with everyone a way to be not afraid, to have some foundation, because our foundation is not here in this world. It is with Jesus. It is not, you know, the materialistic world we see today. And everything is pointing to us to, you know, refocus our you know, whatever's important to us, in a way that just leads us more to our Savior.
Mm-hmm. As we've been saying in the past few shows, begin with the end in mind. You know, whatever we do, even in our lives, in our daily lives, in our weekly, monthly, yearly lives, what is our ultimate goal? You know, what is our ultimate goal? As Christians, our goal is to go back to the Father. You know, John 14, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and he goes ahead to prepare a place for us. So in the end, that's the goal. And so what can we glean from these various private revelations, these prophetic insights, these words, these even interviews from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, that will point to a course of action for us? Of course, we always know the course of action is always the same, right? Grow in holiness, right? And go out in mission. That's the paradigm, right?
You know, I have Jeremiah's 29:11 on a little plaque that when I sit down and watch my TV, it's right there in that cabinet. So I'm always focused on it. And if you all don't remember what it is, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So we've got to look through that lens.
Right. And that's what the Lord is about. He's about to give us a future and a hope. He's not about to crush us and keep us down. If he allows discipline, it's temporary and it's always for our good. But, you know, we have a choice. How are you going to look at it? Are you going to look at it as, shake your fist in the hands of God, in the eyes of God? Or is it going to be, Lord, what can we learn from all this that's going on? All right. So that's kind of a little preface on the shows that we're going to do. And I entitled the predictions kind of whimsically because nobody knows, like the sun said, right? Nobody knows the day or the hour. We don't presume to know anything. But we do. Jesus also said, read the signs of the times. That was a big theme in the Vatican Council, in the Second Vatican Council, was the signs of the times. Read the signs of the times in order to be able to respond to them. So Jesus said, even in a very homely example, he says, when you see the weather in the evening, you'll be able to predict what happens in the morning, you know, and you'll be able to act accordingly. Read the signs of the times. And so I really believe the Holy Spirit puts in our path signs that we can read. And it would be silly for us to kind of say, well, I don't know about this. I'm just going to suspend judgment and live my usual life and not really, you know, kind of try to see what God is trying to tell me out of this. Because there are people like that who say, this is the best possible time and everything's fine. And what are you talking about? And the church is not in crisis and society is not in crisis and everybody's fine, right? I mean, you hear that kind of thing, right?
Right.
But
we have to remember that the Lord permits things to happen, you know, for our good, as you were saying. So if we're getting hit over the head with things right now to refocus, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. It's like a parent, you know, with a child, helping a child.
Let's go in chronological order and kind of start with the warnings or the predictions that we have seen in the past 40, 50 years. And you had a quotation taken from an interview with then Archbishop Joseph Ratzinger, right, in 1969. Right. Why don't you read us what it said?
Right. And this is, he was being interviewed in Germany on German radio. And he was asked about the future of the church. And he said, the future of the church can and will issue from those whose roots are deep and who live from the pure fullness of their faith. It will not issue from those who accommodate themselves merely to the passing moment, or from those who merely criticize others and assume that they themselves are infallible measuring rods. Nor will it issue from those who will take the easier road, who sidestep the passion of faith, declaring false and obsolete, tyrannous and legalistic, all that makes demands upon men that hurts them and compels them to sacrifice themselves. To put it more positively, the future of the church, once again and always, will be reshaped by saints, by men, that is, whose minds probe deeper than the slogans of the day, who see more than others see because their lives embrace a wider reality. And this was also the interview, Lavinia, where he said that the church will become smaller and will emerge differently. She will become small and will have to start afresh more or less from the beginning. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity. As the number of her adherents diminishes, so will it lose many of her social privileges. In contrast to an earlier age, it will be seen much more as a voluntary society, entered only by free decision. As a small society, it will make much bigger demands on the initiative of her individual members. Undoubtedly, it will discover new forms of ministry and will ordain to the priesthood approved Christians who pursue some profession. In many smaller congregations or in self-contained social groups, pastoral care will normally be provided in this fashion. Alongside this, the full-time ministry of the priesthood will be indispensable as formerly. But in all the changes at which one might guess, the church will find her essence afresh and with full conviction in that which was always at her center, faith in the triune God, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, in the presence of the Spirit until the end of the world. In faith and prayer, she will again recognize the sacraments as a worship of God and not as a subject for liturgical scholarship.
Oh.
Every time I read him, I just want to take in every essence of every word he says. And that's what we're seeing right now. This is kind of laying the groundwork for I think what is emerging.
Well, to keep it all in chronological order, if we were to read about what comes next in the private revelation timeline, of course, there's probably many other things that are not on our radar screen, so to speak, right? But right. The next thing that would be a prophecy, which is a prophetic insight. It's something that the Lord gives to people to kind of express his heart and his mind towards a situation or a person. In 1975, there was a conference in Rome on the catacombs, as a matter of fact. And it was really... I was there. I was very young. I was 18. But I do remember the people came from all over the world, literally. And not everybody spoke the same language, but when we prayed and we worshiped together in St. Peter's Basilica, over 10,000, 20,000 strong, it was something else. I mean, you know, it's something that remained as a sign. I know I've shared this with you many times, Mary Lou. It remained as something that has marked my whole life because I heard it at a very young age, and it really put an impression. So in St. Peter's Basilica at the closing mass, so St. Paul the Sixth, has he been canonized? No.
Bless yes, he has.
Has he has? Okay. Anyway, Paul the Sixth was there. And I do remember him coming in the sedia gestatoria, so in the chair, you know, that they carried. I remember that mass because I read one of the prayers of the faithful. I actually went up into the baldacchino, one of the few women who ever walked up to the baldacchino all the way up and stood before the microphone and read one of the prayers of the intentions of the faithful. So that too is marked in my mind forever, right? But I do remember in St. Peter's Basilica that Ralph Martin, who, as you all may know, we have a strong connection with Renewal Ministries out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, founded by Ralph Martin. So Ralph has been a mentor and a good friend of mine for a very, very, very long time. Ralph, in 1975, gave a famous prophecy of the coming hard times for the church and the world. And you printed it out. Mary Lou, you have it. You want to read it for us, please?
Okay. It's fairly long, so... He starts out, because I love you, I want to show you what I am doing in the world today. I want to prepare you for what is to come. Days of darkness are coming on the world, days of tribulation. Buildings that are now standing will not be standing. Supports that are there for people now will not be there. I want you to be prepared, my people, to know only me and to cleave to me and to have me in a deeper way than ever before. I will lead you into the desert. I will strip you of everything that you are depending on now, so you depend just on me. A time of darkness is coming on the world, but a time of glory is coming for my church. A time of glory is coming for my people. I will pour out on you all the gifts of my spirit. I will prepare you for spiritual combat. I will prepare you for a time of evangelism that the world has never seen. And when you have nothing but me, you will have everything, land, fields, homes, and brothers and sisters in love and joy and peace more than ever before. Be ready, my people. I want to prepare you.
That says it all. You know, depend on him, structures and buildings that we rely upon. This takes up the words of Joseph Ratzinger, a scant 6 years before. Where right. The church will become smaller, where the buildings will not be what we expect them to be, where they'll be more like house churches, you know, that kind of thing. And it says, depend on him. How many people do we know who, you know, I mean, I think we just have been put to the test, right? We were not able to go to mass, right? We were not able to go to our parish buildings because they were closed as non-essential. Again, go figure that one. We were deprived, right? And I think this is a taste, according to these prophecies and these prophetic insights and these senses that we're going to present to you through these shows. It presents a feeling of what's going to happen in the future. And so don't be too invested in what's happening in your parishes or your diocese, because we are getting some clear warnings that these things are passing away. I don't think they're passing away permanently, but there is going to be a time of where things are going to get small, according to Joseph Ratzinger, right?
It's normal to kind of hate change, you know. When your routine or anything that you're so used to doing suddenly is not there anymore or changes in a way, you kind of fight it, you know, or you're in denial. You kind of, I'm just going to wait it out. Things will be the same. And I think, you know, what you're saying is that things are going to change. And I think these people are very clear in that the church is going to change. It's going to be better, mm-hmm. but it's going to change.
Well, it's going to get smaller. I think it's going to change in a way that's going to scare a lot of people who are used to the status quo, right? We're used to doing our thing, inhabiting our pew, having our little space in the parking lot, you know, having coffee and donuts, not, you know, giving so much, but not much more, kind of being not very invested, but wanting everything to be there for us, you know, like a lot of Catholics, like they don't put much in the collection basket, but they expect, you know, platinum service for nothing, you know, that kind of thing. Not that it's all about money, but, you know, it's you get out what you put in. But the idea is to depend upon the Lord and not upon structures, institutions, or buildings. And I love at the end, when you have nothing but me, you will have everything.
Everything. Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, let's think about that. When we have nothing but him, we have come pretty close to having nothing but him. Of course, in the West, we can't really say that because we were in our heated and air-conditioned homes, and we could go to the grocery stores, and we had access to medical care and all that stuff. So we weren't hardly roughing it. But we certainly had a sobering moment of like, oh, my gosh, is this the way it's going to be? And when you have nothing but me, we're going to have a whole lot less before we can say that we have nothing but him. But let's get used to that feeling. Jesus should fill in all the cracks. He should fill in all the ways in which things are missing, or that we can't trust our experience, or you know what I'm saying? I think that when I heard these words, I was 18 years old, and I was sobered by them. But I remember telling myself at the time, oh, well, this probably won't happen in my lifetime. You know, this will happen at some other time in the future. My poor children and grandchildren, I remember thinking. But really, I think, and this is, we're going to close out our show with this observation. I think the year of our Lord 2020 has put pay to that illusion, at least for me. You know, I never would have imagined what all this year has brought us, right? I never would have imagined all the various things that we know have happened that we never in a million years would have thought that would have happened, you know? So it's kind of a very, it's very disorienting. I know that you've experienced it and I've experienced it, and it's just it's not a comfortable feeling. But it has kind of pushed us to go to the prayer place, right? And kind of figure out, who are we trusting, you know? Who is our everything? When we have nothing, will we really have everything? Or will we be mourning, you know, the passing of this or that or the other institution? So we will continue next time. Thank you for joining us.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.